Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith. And yesterday I began a message. I've entitled it The Warrior's Enemy, and we're looking at spiritual warfare. Who our enemy is, his character, his sphere of influence, some of his tactics we're going to be getting into. But for now, as I was just preparing to begin broadcasting, I just sensed the Lord's heart for you, beloved. He loves you so much. And sometimes when we go through battles, we feel so badly. There's such oppression, and sometimes it's just our thoughts don't even seem to be clear. There's just such an all-out barrage against you, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, in every way. Circumstantially, there's just chaos and confusion. It's just everything is against you, as it were. And yet, I want you to know that inside, in your spirit, where the Holy Spirit dwells, in spite of all that you're going through, there is a place in God. And I'm learning more and more about it, even though I've walked with the Lord for many years, a place where you can have absolute peace. Does that mean anything has changed? No, you still have to deal with issues. You still have to do warfare. You still have to pray. You still have to stand your ground. But there is a rest to the people of God, even in the midst of battle and warfare. And in fact, that's the best place to be spiritually inside, deep in that secret place of the Most High, having a place of serenity and peace, because there's strength in peace. Amen. Our Lord was meek and gentle. He was as a lamb that was led to the slaughter. And yet that meekness was not weakness, beloved. Even dying on the cross, he was in perfect control, and he decided when that it was the time that it was finished, and he yielded his spirit into his Father's hand. No man took his life from him. And so this is the God that we serve, beloved. And I want you to know he came into this earth and was victorious in your behalf as the Son of Man. It wasn't so often we say, well, he was the Son of God. But when he was in those 40 days, those lonely days in the wilderness place with the beasts, that he was tested by the enemy. And in those three temptations that are recorded, he was victorious, but he overcame by the word of God, and he was victorious as the Son of Man. It had to be that way, because he was and is the last man, Adam, and he had to succeed and pay the penalty which our first father, the first Adam, failed in. And so he did what he did as our example. He did what he did because we also, with the same anointing of the Holy Spirit, that same anointing that was upon him, that we can do the works that he's called us to do. And so, beloved, just you may be in the midst of a battle right now, but Jesus knows and understands. He has great compassion. He knows what it is. When he was in the garden, he sweat great drops of blood. He knows what it is to be pressed to the uttermost, so he can relate to your feelings, but he is with you. And I want you to lay hold of this right now. I don't care what you're going through. Don't run from Jesus. Don't feel that what you're going through is a result of some failure on your part, but that the enemy is testing you, and the Lord is with you and will take you through the battle if you hold tightly to his hand. I just sense the Lord just saying, you know, reach out and hold tightly to my hand, and he will bring you through. Praise God. So we were looking we haven't gotten very far in the message, but we're just looking at the character of the devil. And we see there's a description of him in the book of Revelation. When he led the revolt in heaven, it was the great archangel Michael who fought against him. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, verse 7, it says, "And there was war in heaven." Can you imagine that? "And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon." That's, of course, Satan, another word for him. "And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not," verse 8. "Neither was their place found any more in heaven." Verse 9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Praise God. And we see that in verse 10, I'll have to read that because that's important. "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." He is the accuser of the brethren. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." We have the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And that word goes on to say, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So this is his character. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Where is his sphere, his place of operation, if you will, his metron of authority? Well, when he was cast down from heaven, he seemed to have pitched his camp in the aerial regions near this world and became known as the prince of the power of the air. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is referred to as the God of this world, who has blinded the minds of them which believe not in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:2 says, "He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That is, those who are unsaved. And although his stronghold is in spiritual wickedness in high places, he is found, as we find in that opening chapter of the book of Job 2:2, he's found going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. God says, "Where are you? Where have you been?" And he says, "Oh, I've just been, you know, been just sauntering around." And of course, he's looking. He's not just taking a leisurely walk. He's looking, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Now, we've looked at his character. We've looked at his sphere of influence. He is the God of this world. Jesus has defeated him, but he will not be abated. His power and influence will not be annulled, if you will, because it's going to actually increase as the days grow darker until there's a one world government and the man of sin, the man of perdition, the Antichrist is unveiled. And there will be 7 years of tribulation, the last three great tribulation. And then when Jesus comes, he will be bound for 1,000 years not allowed to be released until the end of that time, where his destination will become the lake of fire. So, what are his resources? Well, they may be somewhat difficult to define. When we take our stand against the wiles of the devil, as the scriptures tell us, we are in conflict with the empires, the dark forces that control and govern this evil world. The spiritual hosts of evil arrayed against us in heavenly warfare. But we can thank God that greater is he that is in us, and also greater is he that is for us. Do you remember that? I won't take the time to read, but in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 16, Elisha, the city was surrounded, and his servant was really appalled. He said, "Oh, what shall we do? We're surrounded by chariots." And Elisha prayed that the eyes of his servant could be opened. And he commented, he said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And the servant's eyes were opened, and he could see the chariots of the Lord, the angels of the Lord round about. And so we can be assured that God releases his angels to minister to the heirs of salvation. And so whatever situation you're in right now, you are not alone. The Lord is with you. David said, "I've set the Lord always before me. Because he has been my right hand, I shall not be moved." And so so, beloved, as you are standing firm in your faith, you know that God is going to fight for you. His angels are with you, and you will be victorious. Now, let's go on, because there's a lot I want to cover with you. What are his methods? Well, 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not to be ignorant of his devices, lest he should get an advantage of us. And his advices, his devices, if you will, are varied. And let's look at the first way he, what is one of his strategies? He tries wiles. And as we go to, the book of Ephesians, I lost my spot there in Ephesians, we know that he uses wiles in Ephesians, that 6th chapter, verse 11. He talks about the wiles of the devil. And what are wiles? Well, there's something that is attractive, but deceptive and ensnaring. And of course, this was the method that he used with Christ in the great temptations in the wilderness. He basically said, you know, all you have to do is fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. That was, of course, the Father's plan, and is the Father's plan for Jesus. But he said, get thee hence, Satan, you shall worship God, and him alone shall you serve. And in every case, he said, you will not tempt the Lord your God. All the areas, and he was hungry. He'd fasted 40 days on nothing but water. And he said, command these stones to be turned to bread. And of course, Jesus had the ability and power to do that. But he said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so he uses wiles against us. And 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, James 1:13, the word tells us, let no man say when he is tempted that I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So, beloved, I want you to know that Jesus is for you. And when we're in a time of battle, I don't know about you, beloved, but I have no hesitation in asking for agreeing prayer from those who are around me, for those who I know who will pray for me. And so I invite you to write if you are in such a place of battle and warfare, if you need the support of agreeing prayer. You may not have someone that you can turn to. And this ministry has been raised up by God for over 50 years to do just that, to stand as a partner of prayer in prayer with God's people. So the announcer will give our contact information. I love you. I pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, man.